This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My heart yearns to be in your company. Oh, hey, proclaim your call, set in shackled minds free.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In this podcast episode, I wanted to discuss and just kind of highlight some of the experiences I've recently had. This is a few days after the Nasheed video was released for Muhammad's company, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a poem that I wrote, actually wrote many years ago. I believe I wrote it in Egypt when I was a student of knowledge there, studying Arabic and Islamic studies at a college of Al-Azhar and some local institutes. I either wrote it there or I started writing it there. And I remember writing the poem just because of this overwhelming feeling that I had at the time when I was studying the seerah. And, you know, the seerah, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anyone who has studied it from beginning to end will know that it's an emotional roller coaster, really. I mean, you study it, and the whole of Islam comes to life. And it's such an extraordinary life that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that you can't help but be completely immersed in it and completely be in love with the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and really feel the feelings that he felt at every stage of his life. So studying the seerah, and then, you know, over the years, whenever I've studied the seerah again, I've been so moved by it and so immersed in it. There were times when I used to, you know, you just would think about the companions and how, although, you know, of course they were such great people and had such strong personalities, you wish that you could have accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and been one of his companions. You know, they had the honor of being the ones who defended him in battle and, you know, helped his message spread at a time when it was not fashionable for Islam to be, you know, propagated. They supported him when he was an outcast. They did everything to the highest level, and they met him, they saw him, they saw his face, they saw, you know, everything about him. And his personality and his beauty and outward and inner beauty, subhanAllah. So, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so a student of seerah cannot help but think, you know, I wish I could have seen that. I wish I could have been there. How lucky they were, or how blessed they were, I should say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them, you know, to be that generation that would really gain all of the rewards and the benefits of having been with the greatest man who ever lived. At the same time, as a student, you know, when you reflect on all these things, you start thinking, well, you know, they were special, they were chosen, and Allah chooses whomsoever He wills. And you start reflecting on yourself and your own times and where you are and what you're doing. And I think one of the things that, for me, I realized, and I believe it's one of the scholars and one of my teachers also said this to us. He said to us that, look, the companions, they got to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They got to defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their bodies, with their physical selves. But we, although we live 1,400 and so years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we too can defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with our tongues, right? We too can be of that, of a blessed generation of people, right? Who, even though we didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we follow him, we obey him, we stay away from what he told us to stay away from, and we do the things that he asked us to do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We defend his honor when it's, when people are trying to cast aspersions on him, and we spread his call. That was the other very important thing. Spread the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to humanity. And so all of these sentiments and emotions and ideas were kind of in my head at the time, and I wanted to express them. And so this poem was the result of all of that, Muhammad's company. And what I did after that was I just, you know, sent it to a Muslim magazine, Sisters magazine, once I'd written it, and they published it. You know, Sister Naima Robert, she was the editor, and you know, she's always been a real supporter and somebody who's always kind of cheered me on and encouraged me, mashallah. May Allah bless her and her family and guide her family and bless them in every way. And she encouraged me with this. So it was published in Sisters magazine, and a brother a few weeks later tried to get in touch with me via Sisters magazine. And he was a local nasheed artist in London, and he'd turned the poem into a nasheed, but he was just doing it like privately, you know, in his own house. And he really wanted to reach out and get my permission, really, to use the poem and to actually perform it in different places as a nasheed. And so obviously I was really, I'd never even thought about it being turned into a nasheed until he contacted me. And so I asked him to send a recording, and he did. And it was really nice, you know, it was nice, his interpretation of how it could be recited or performed was really nice. And I tried to kind of talk him into getting it recorded in a professional way, you know, so that maybe we could put it out there as something that people could listen to. But he wasn't very keen on that. I think he just wanted to keep it as a local thing that he did. He wasn't really keen on it being a big thing. And so, although I was a bit disappointed, yeah, it was nice. It was nice that somebody had taken it and done that. And then a few years later, I noticed brother Omar Isa on YouTube. And, you know, I started listening to some of his nasheeds. Our generation, you know, having been brought up with music all around us and at school, and you know, it was everywhere. And it, for most of us, I think, of our generation, you know, we were really immersed into music and in the music scene. And for many of us, when we became more conscious of Islam and we became more conscious of the Sunnah and, you know, gained more knowledge, I think we realized that music was not congruous to our Islam and to a pious life. And so we moved away from it. And so I think one of the things that nasheeds have done is given us something for those of us who would probably describe ourselves as being pretty much addicted to music, or, you know, very attached to it. Nasheeds with, you know, vocal only nasheeds have been a real way of satisfying that attachment that we had, but obviously not to replace the Quran or not to be anywhere near the Quran. But you know, for times or when a person wants to relax or wants to listen to something, vocal only nasheeds have really satisfied that kind of gap. So many years later, I noticed Brother Omar Isa, and I noticed that he was very kind of up and coming, mashallah, very motivated. He seemed very, he seemed to be one of the more knowledgeable nasheed artists, in the sense that he was very clear about why he was doing nasheeds. He was very clear why he wasn't using music. And I thought that was great. And I also liked his professionalism, you know, the way his nasheeds were presented and things like that. And so I noticed that I could contact him quite easily online. And so I did. And I sent him my poem. And I really did not think that he would necessarily do it, you know, or be even interested. But I just thought, you know, I'm going to give it my best shot. So I sent it to him. I actually had sent it to other nasheed artists before, but I had not even had a reply from them. With Brother Omar, you know, he really liked it, or he was quite positive about the poem. And he said, you know, he would keep it and one day he would, inshallah, work on it. And it was like 2 years later, I think, that by then, you know, obviously I just thought, yeah, he's probably too busy. He's got other projects, you know, it's not going to be a priority for him. But sure enough, he did actually get back in touch with me and say, "Sister, I've actually turned your poem into a nasheed." And I was really surprised because it had been so long. I thought he'd forgotten about it or he'd gotten busy. But he said, yeah, I had some time and I wanted to, you know, I wanted to stay true to my word. And so he turned it into this nasheed, and it was completely different to the way the other brother had performed it. But just listening to it by myself at home on my headphones, I was really moved by it. And the reason why I was moved by it is it felt like my poem had come to life and somebody had brought it to life. And I think it brought back for me all of those emotions and feelings that, you know, as a student of Seerah, I had felt. And I knew that other brothers and sisters who were studying the Seerah, who were reading, or even who were just reading the books of Seerah, would have felt similar emotions, you know. And so as soon as I heard the nasheed, I was like, this has got to be made into a video, because I can even see how it would be, you know. I could see the story of the nasheed being brought to life in a video. So I mentioned it to Brother Omar, but there was quite a big kind of few obstacles in the way. The main obstacle being the funding of the filming and the travel to Medina and stuff like that. So I really wanted the nasheed to be filmed in Medina, or at least part of it, because for me, the story of the nasheed was a student of knowledge, a talib al-ilm, studying the seerah and yearning to be a companion, or yearning to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in his company, and then traveling to Medina and all the feelings that he has there. You know, it was very important to me that Medina would be part of that, because for me as a student, whenever I go to Medina, it just has such a profound effect on me. It doesn't matter how many times I go. When I see a place or go to a place and somebody tells me, you know, this was where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, where he did this or where he did that, it just, subhanAllah, you know, it just really moves me that I'm in the same place as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm sure, and I know that Muslims all over the world feel that way. So it was really important to me that Medina be in that video. But at the same time, you know, it meant that there would be significant amount of cost to that, to arranging that, and to just arranging the whole thing. But there was a chance that Brother Umar was actually going to Medina anyway, and he could extend his stay there and film this, right, with his crew. So, alhamdulillah, I thought this is just an amazing opportunity. The time is right, you know, everything seems to be aligning, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought this opportunity my way. Many opportunities that come your way, if you don't grab them, you know, you never know if you're ever going to get those chances again. So although the idea of raising that amount of money was quite daunting to me because I hadn't really done it before. And also, you know, I thought to myself, people, are they really going to believe in the project? I believe in the project and I know why I believe it's important. But can I convey that to other people? You know, sometimes people think of artistic projects as being like a luxury, right? They don't see them as being important. But to me, I think any vibrant religious community, any vibrant community has its cultures and its arts, and it needs to express those. You know, they the creative people, and every community has its creatives, they have this kind of energy and this this eye for beauty and expression and in its various modes. And it must be expressed, and that just goes for every culture. And as Muslims, we have our own unique ways of expressing our culture, whether it's through nasheeds, whether it's in the visual arts, you know, in calligraphy, in Islamic geometric patterns. And as Muslims growing up in the West, we will have taken on board the styles and the cultures of the communities that we've grown up in and that we're part of, but obviously we want to stay away from the impermissible aspects and the things that aren't congruous to our values, and we want to adjust them to being congruous to our values, right? So for me, I think art and in their various expressions, you know, when they're in line with our values, we have a lot to offer and we have a lot to express through them. And our children and the next generation of Muslims need outlets to express themselves in halal ways, right? If we don't provide them with a model for those means of expression, they will turn to impermissible means, right? Or they will suffer from not being able to express beauty, that desire to be creative. So anyway, to me, it was an important project. It carried an important message that I wanted to be out there, you know, that there are these various things that every Muslim should strive to do if they love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, obey the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, follow in his footsteps and emulate him. In his character and, you know, outwardly and inwardly, to spread his call and to fulfill his decrees. So everything that he asked us to do, everything that he considered important for the ummah, we should strive to follow and carry out. So these were the key messages, and I really wanted to bring them to life. And alhamdulillah, I made dua and I consulted with a few friends of mine, and one of my friends, she was very encouraging, and she said, come on Fatima, you can raise this through crowdfunding, you know, it's going to be easy, just do it, just make a start, you've got the kind of reach, you'll be able to do it, just, it's not that much money. To me, it was a lot of money, but, you know, as a student, it seemed like a lot of money to me. But she encouraged me and she said, no, if enough people contribute. You're going to make this. And I had like less than a month or about a month to do it in, which was also quite daunting. But, you know, I just thought it's now or never. And I just started the process. I started reaching out to organizations at first as well. And yeah, they were not very forthcoming. But some individuals were, and then one organization was also. And so, alhamdulillah, somehow through a lot of contacting people and, you know, all of that, we got to the end. You know, we got to raise the amount that I needed in order to fund this. And alhamdulillah, I must say, I was really pleased, and I felt very blessed and glad, you know, that Allah had given us that opportunity, because it was completely unplanned. And one of the things I learned from that, I think, from this whole project was, you know, when you're quite an organized person, you tend to plan everything, right? And I'm really into planning my whole year, planning the goals for the year, the projects, the things I'm not going to be doing, the things I am going to be doing. When you're that sort of person, it can be really easy to not allow unexpected and spontaneous things into your life, right? But what I learned from this experience was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends certain opportunities your way, or certain ideas and certain things pop up. And if you're too rigid, right, in your planning, you know, you'll never do anything that's difficult. You'll never do anything that's spontaneous, that's outside your comfort zone. And you'll never do things that you may have really enjoyed doing had you taken the risk and had you just gone off plan and just, you know, taken the plunge. And so for me, even though this was not a planned project for this year, I can't tell you how much joy and satisfaction I have had from being part of it. And even though there was a level of pain involved in the sense that I had to take time out from other things and really focus on the fundraising, which I must say I do not enjoy. I don't enjoy fundraising, but, you know, the nature of any good project is it needs to be funded, right? Anything you're going to do of high quality. So, alhamdulillah, overall, you know, Allah made it easy for us. And I got the funding just in time for Brother Umar to be able to do the filming and for everything to be done in time. There was a funny moment when I was explaining to Brother Umar my vision for the Nasheed video, right, which was a student of knowledge sitting in London, you know, in his classroom and reading the seerah, and he's like thinking, dreaming about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how amazing it would be to meet him and to be his companion. And, you know, he's like feeling all these emotions that a student of seerah feels. And then he literally goes to Medina, and so, you know, he feels that he's with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He realizes how much he loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how real his story is. So, you know, my vision was it was about Medina, but it was also about the mundane aspect of being a student, you know, in London, reading a book. So, subhanAllah, you know, I wanted that both of those kind of aspects to be brought to life. And one of the suggestions I had for Brother Umar, I was getting a bit excited, I think, at the prospect of being like, I don't know, the new Steven Spielberg or something, right, of Nasheed videos. And I said to him, you know, you've got to film the mountain of light, right, the Jabal Nur and the Ghari Hira. And I mean, you could film yourself climbing up the mountain, you know. And I think Brother Umar was like very diplomatic, you know, mashallah, he was very patient and diplomatic whenever he spoke to me. And he literally kind of paused and he replied, and this was over like the phone or voice recordings and things. And he was like, sister, that's not going to be possible, you know. The way he said it, I was thinking, subhanAllah, he's probably thinking, you know, this sister, she's like, she's getting a bit carried away, you know. She thinks I'm some sort of stuntman who's going to do all sorts of, like, I don't know, Mission Impossible type stunts for her video, right? She's getting a bit carried away. So, yeah, it was quite funny hearing his very diplomatic reply and then sort of cringing a bit afterwards, thinking, yeah, maybe I was getting a bit carried away there. But mashallah, the way Brother Omar and his team interpreted, you know, the vision that I had was just great. I think they really caught the essence of what the nasheed was about. So alhamdulillah, I was really pleased with that. And so now the nasheed is available for you to watch the nasheed video on YouTube, on Brother Omar's YouTube channel. It's going to be on my channel as well in a few days, probably. But, you know, do go to Brother Omar's YouTube channel and watch it. And let me know what you think. Leave a comment. Reach out to me, you know, in whatever way you can. And let us know what you think and how it made you feel. Because I know the first time I watched it, I felt very emotional watching it. Because I really felt what I had felt when I'd written the poem in the first place. So I just wanted to share and capture, I think, that experience for you and for myself, actually, on audio. And I wanted to kind of share some of the lessons I learned from that experience. So one of the lessons was, for me, how important it is for us to express our creativity, you know, in a halal way. Find halal ways to express the creative spark that's within you. Another lesson that I learned from this experience was the whole idea of being spontaneous and sometimes going off your plan, you know, for the year. When an opportunity comes your way that is congruous with your goals and vision, right, in life, and being willing to allow good things to come into your life that you had not planned, because you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. And taking some risks, you know, taking the plunge and trying to do things that don't seem easy or don't seem possible, because everything has to start somewhere, right? Every project seems impossible until it's done. So I think that was a key message or lesson for me. Another lesson I learned from this process was, as a Muslim woman, you know, there are certain things that sometimes people think, as a Muslim woman, that they're restricted, right? In the sense that, you know, I'm not going to go singing on a nasheed video myself, right? I'm not going to become a singer in public, in front of men, etc. However, that doesn't stop me from participating and being able to be part of projects, you know, and being a significant part of projects, right? So I know that sometimes, you know, some sisters, they might want to be singers or they might want to be nasheed artists themselves. Now, doing that in the public in front of men is problematic, right? So that doesn't mean you have to completely shut down that creative part of yourself. It just means that have confidence, do it in the halal way, and find areas that you can contribute to, you know, in that industry in a halal way. And those roles are just as important and just as significant, if not more significant. Because sometimes being the artist is one thing, but being the visionary and the person who can fund and support artists is also really important. I also learned that when I wrote my book about Khadija radiallahu anha. So in that, I was the person who was writing. I was the one who was creatively expressing However, my publisher and my editor and, you know, their role was just absolutely crucial, because they were the visionaries behind the book, right? They were the ones who had a vision for the book and saw that vision to completion. So all of us have a role to play, and each of those roles is significant and is important in its own way. And we shouldn't ever belittle any particular role, you know. So that was another thing that I learned from this whole process. And alhamdulillah, I'm really grateful to Brother Omar and his team for being so professional and really taking on the project. And I'm very grateful to the brothers and sisters who were so enthusiastic, who told me, you know, wow, this is a cool project. We'd love to donate. We'd love to sponsor this and be part of it. And we want to see it come to life. And alhamdulillah, it has come to life. I'm really grateful to all of those people for supporting us. So jazakumullahu khairan. I hope that through this audio blog, you know, you would have gained something of an insight into what happened behind the scenes. And I hope that, you know, it encourages sisters who might have creative abilities and want to do things in a creative way to find halal ways of doing it, and to consult people of knowledge, you know, and do the right thing and not consider what part they played as being any less significant to the role that brothers play. So may Allah forgive me and forgive us, and may He bless the project, may He accept it, and may we be united with our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the Hawd of Al-Kawthar, and enter into Jannah in His company sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I swear as long as there is breath in me, in your footsteps will I traverse patiently. Defend your name and fulfill your every plea. Spread your call to all of humanity. Striving longing for the day I may be united in your blessed company. Rasulullah. Rasulullah, Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.